like to turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, very familiar verses. In Habakkuk chapter 3, we like to read verses 17 through verse 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. The prophet Habakkuk was a contemporary to Jeremiah, to Nahum, and to Zephaniah. He ministered during the death throes of the nation of Judah. He preached just prior to the Babylonians coming against Jerusalem, actually as they were on their way. The name Habakkuk means embrace. But what is interesting in the book of Habakkuk is the book opens with Habakkuk questioning the Lord. But by the time we get to our text, though circumstances had not changed, Habakkuk has a different perspective. He has a different attitude. And he is seen embracing God. The book begins in the valley, down in the pits, but we see it ends with him walking in the high places. The book begins with a complaint, and yet it ends with a song, Habakkuk singing, and we see this to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. The book begins with an interrogation of God, but it ends with Habakkuk praying to God. Chapter 3, verse 1 says a prayer of Habakkuk. The book begins with a question. Habakkuk, again, is questioning God, but it seems to end with an exclamation mark. So, in our text, Habakkuk has been lifted from the valley. He has been lifted from the pit, and he's now embracing God upon the mountaintop. So though the book opens in gloom, it ends in great hope and in glory. So in this book, there is a transformation that has taken place between chapter 1 and chapter 3. I want to speak this morning on ascending to the high places. To take the thought mostly from verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. I want to consider two main points. First of all, we want to look at the background and the circumstances of the book of Habakkuk. And then, secondly, we want to see Habakkuk ascending to the high places. But first of all, the background, the setting of the book. Again, Habakkuk ministered in a time of crisis. He ministered in a time of corruption, It was a time of great unrest for the people of Judah. Josiah had been a good king in Judah, but when he died, his son Jehoahaz rose to the throne, and he was only king for 3 months, and the king of Egypt invaded Judah, disposed of Jehoahaz as king, and placed his brother Jehoiakim on the throne. Jehoiakim was evil. Jehoiakim was very ungodly, quite rebellious. And shortly after Jehoiakim came to power is when the book of Habakkuk was written. The book was written against a backdrop of apostasy, unbelievable hardship. It was a time when injustice prevailed, time of destruction, a time of violence, when all these things were just a way of life, when the wicked dominated over the righteous. And Habakkuk literally watched the temple become forsaken. It was a time of great difficulty. And if you go to chapter 1, you see from verses 2 through verse 4 that it was a time of violence, that is, brutality, hostility, time when there was just turbulence in the air. It was a time of iniquity. It is a time when people's minds were twisted and perverted. It was a time of grievance. We read there in verse 3. That is injustice and unfairness. It was a time of spoiling. That is damage, ruin, and wreckage. It was a time of strife, conflict, and hostility. It was a time of contention. It is a time of dispute and dissension. We read in verse 4 that the law is slacked. That is, the law was not being carried out. They had laws, but the law was not being executed. Judgment doth never go forth, and the wicked compass about the righteous. That is to ensnare him, and wrong judgment proceedeth. That is, judgment went against that which was good, and judgment went for that which was wicked. Very similar to the days in which we live. From chapter 2, we see in verses 6 through 8, we're not going to read these verses to save time, but you'll notice there are several woes from verse 6 down through verse 20. And the first woe is concerning the greed that had become so common during that time. The second woe in verses 9 through 11, it was a time of just tremendous arrogant self-assertion. And then in verses 12 through 14, again, it was a time of violence. In verses 15 through verse 17, it was a time of inhumanity, a time of drunkenness. And in verses 18 through 20, a time of idolatry. So Habakkuk was living in the midst of corruption. He was living in the midst of immorality. He was living in the midst of great degeneracy and perversion and chaos. Judah's moral fiber had been eaten away. had been destroyed. And with all of this chaos going on, it was a time when it did not appear that God was doing anything about the situation. In chapter 1 and verse 2, the book begins with the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And then notice it begins with a question, with a complaint. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Habakkuk is living in the midst of terrible sin. And he's saying, Lord, I pray and I pray and I pray. How long do I have to wait for you to answer? Is how the book opens up. So, it was a time in Habakkuk's mind in which it did not seem that God was doing anything about the situation. Now, Habakkuk was allowed to clearly see what was coming, the judgment that was coming. And he refers to that in chapter 3 and verse 17. As a result of God's judgment, there would be total devastation to the economy of Judah. He says in verse 17, the fig tree shall not blossom, the fruit tree, the vines, the olive, the fields, the flock, the herds. All of these things would be destroyed. Now the economy of Judah, of course, depended very heavily. Almost their entire economy was based on agriculture and livestock. And all of this would be destroyed, he tells us there in chapter 3 and verse 17. So what is the effect that all of this has upon Habakkuk? Well, it greatly burdened his heart. That's why we read there in chapter 1 and verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. That is, the circumstances and the situation that Habakkuk was in, that the nation was in, was a great strain to Habakkuk. It was a great weight upon his heart, upon his mind. And it was a great heartache, and it was a great heartbreak because of all the behavior that was going on around him. So Habakkuk is grieved. And he cries out to God in prayer concerning the difficulties of the times. But it again in chapter 1 and verse 2, it's as if God is very distant. It's as if God is indifferent to their situation. And Habakkuk begins the book really out of frustration, questioning God. He is saying, God, why do you not answer me? As you read on in the book, Habakkuk is saying, why do you show me these things? Why do you show me these things and then you do nothing? Habakkuk is complaining. He's questioning the Lord. God answered Habakkuk. And here's basically what God said to Habakkuk. He said, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something about the sin in Judah. And what I'm going to do, Habakkuk, I'm going to punish the sin that I see in Judah. And here's how I'm going to punish it. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. a nation even more evil than yourselves. And I am going to use them to destroy you. That was the answer. That's not the answer Habakkuk wanted. But that's the answer that Habakkuk received. And you can read that in verses 5 through verse 11 of chapter 1. And that answer greatly shook Habakkuk. I mean, it shook him to his core. And Habakkuk returned by saying, God, I know that you have the power to do this. And because you said you would do it, I know that it will happen. But God, how can you use such an ungodly nation as the Babylonians to punish us? How can you do that, Lord? And you read on there in chapter 1 and verse 2, and that's the conversation that's going on between Habakkuk and God. He says, God, I know that you are holy. And God, you can't stand evil. So why? Why would you use such a wicked people as the Babylonians to punish your own people? It's as if Habakkuk is saying to God, God, it doesn't make sense. Habakkuk does not understand. Habakkuk is having trouble understanding why. Why would God, he's not having so much trouble understanding God punishing their sin, but he's having trouble understanding how God was going to punish their sin. Why would you use such a nation as Babylon to punish your people? It's as if he is saying, Lord, why don't you, I don't understand, why don't you just purge the sins of your people? Why don't you just purge the sins of your people, and why don't you just draw them to yourself? God, why? Why are you doing this? Gideon found himself in a similar situation in Judges 6 and verse 13. He said, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this befallen us? He's questioning the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 10 and verse 1 said, Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? In other words, God, why aren't you paying attention to our situation here? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? So at this point in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, there is no question that Habakkuk, he's in the dumps. And Habakkuk is about to go under. All he can see is the problem, the difficulty, and the circumstances or the consequences of sin and rebellion all around him. And he wants to know why. Lord, why don't you do something? And then when God tells him what he's going to do, he says, Well, God, why would you do it that way? And he's questioning the Lord. But again, from chapter 1 to our text, something has happened to Habakkuk. Because now we see, by the time we get to the end of the book, Habakkuk is no longer in the dumps. He's no longer questioning God. But he's up and he's walking in the high places. So a transformation has taken place. Keep in mind the circumstances from chapter 1 to chapter 3, the circumstances in Judah have not changed. And God's judgment, God's coming judgment, has not changed. But with that being said, a lot has changed. Habakkuk. Habakkuk was changed. Habakkuk is no longer where he was in the beginning of the book. He's no longer in confusion. I mean, read verse 19. There's no confusion there. There's no chaos. There's no despair. He has gotten way beyond human reasoning. And he's living in the high places. By the time we get to our text, he's where every child of God desires to be. He's where every child of God can be. He's walking in the high places. He says there in verse 17, although, which is just another way of saying even though. And then he refers to the judgment of God that was coming. And he knew that the fig tree would not blossom. And he knew that the fruit tree and the fruit on the vines would dry up, and the olive and the fields and the flock and the herds. And he said, even though all of that happens, and I know it's going to happen because God said it would. In fact, the Babylonians were on their way. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Quite a change from why, God. Why aren't you listening, Lord? I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then he goes on, he says, he will make my feet. That is, God will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon my high places. This is a picture of sure-footedness. It is the ability to be free from stumbling. It is the ability to be free from falling and from error. It is a picture of the row bounding up the mountainside, leaping from rock to rock with precision, with extraordinary ability, and with extraordinary agility. It is a picture of triumph. It is a picture of victory over each and every obstacle that gets in the way. And Habakkuk says, I will be victorious, even though God is going to judge Judah. Walking in the high places is a picture of soaring above circumstances. It is a picture of living above our circumstances. Walking in the high places is a picture of victoriously living victoriously over the world. It is a picture of living above the turmoil. It is a picture of living above the uncertainty of our lives. A picture of rising above the trials. Rising above the disappointments. Walking in the high places is a picture of living above doubts. Living above our fears. It is abiding in a place of safety. It is a picture of security and assurance. He says, he will make my feet like high places, or hinds' feet, and I will walk in the high places. It's where every child of God desires to be. And again, it's where every child of God can be. So this raises the question. There's obviously a change from chapter 1 to chapter 3. So how? How did this transformation come about? Or how did Habakkuk ascend to the high places? Because however this transformation came about, that's how it'll come about in our lives. And however it was that Habakkuk was able to ascend to the high places and to live above his difficulties and to live above his circumstances and to live in safety and assurance, however he got there is how we get there also. And I believe we have the answers to those questions. In chapter 2 and verse 4, The Lord said to Habakkuk, in the latter part of the verse, the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk is complaining to God. Why? Questioning the way God does things. Have you ever done that? You question. You question why, and then you question how God does things. Well, why would God do it that way? It's not for you and I to question. We don't really need to know. It is God's prerogative to use the ungodly to bring judgment upon his people. He has always done that. And that's what Habakkuk is having a tremendous difficulty understanding. So God tells Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. And may I say, one will never walk in the high places walking by sight. You'll never get there. You'll never, ever get there. You will never walk in the high places trying to figure things out. You'll never walk in the high places by human reason. The only way to ascend to the high places is by a firm, unwavering belief in Almighty God. You will never get to the high places without that, without faith. The way to ascend the high places, faith. That means that God becomes an all-consuming reality in our life. He consumes up everything in our lives. He's a reality. It's faith. Oh, you can try to ascend to the high places without faith. And you may climb up so high, but you're going to fall down. And then you may try again, and you're going to fall down again. And you're going to keep on trying. You'll spend your life doing that. You'll never quite get to the high places until you have faith. Until God is more real to you than all your difficulties, than all your problems. As long as your problem is bigger than God, as long as you can see your problems more clearly than you can God, you'll never walk in the high places. It takes faith to get to the high places. The way to ascend the high places is to view everything in the light of God. That's what faith is. Doesn't mean that we ignore the problem. It means that we view the problem in the light of God. Doesn't mean that we ignore our circumstances. It means that we view them in the light of God. That's faith. And if you cannot do that, you'll never ascend to the high places. Oh, you'll try, but may I say you're wasting your time even trying. You'll wear yourself out. You'll never get there outside of faith. The way to ascend to the high places is to focus. And notice in chapter 1, the book begins, Habakkuk is focused on why. Why is this happening? You ever get focused on that? Focused on the why? You want to not sleep at night? Focus on the why. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why? You drive yourself nuts. But by the time you get to chapter 3, Habakkuk is no longer focused on why. He's focused on who. He's focused on God. That's faith. Notice in verse 18, he says, in the Lord. He's focused on God. He says, in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is And also in verse 19, he will. That's faith. Habakkuk is no longer focused on why, but on who. And that's how we get to the high places. We find the answer to why in who. We find the answer to why in God. So first, before we can ascend to the high places, before we can walk in the high places, there has to be faith. But not only that, there must be a hearing of God and a trembling at his word. Now remember, back in chapter 1, when Habakkuk is asking the question, God, why don't you answer me? And God says, Habakkuk, I'll give you my answer. I'm going to punish Judah. And I'm going to raise up Babylon to do it. Well, all the time Habakkuk's complaining about not getting an answer, and when he gets an answer, he doesn't like that. So he begins to question that. But in chapter 2, I believe that Habakkuk received faith. And then he heard the word of God again. There must be a hearing of God and a trembling at his word. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, now notice, complete change. He's no longer questioning. O Lord, revive thy work. In the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known. He's saying, Lord, I've heard your speech. I've heard your word. And I was afraid. I trembled. And Lord, I just pray that you would revive your people. And that you would show yourself. And in wrath, remember mercy. Quite a change in his attitude. Verse 16, he says, when I heard, my belly trembled. That means, once I had faith, and I heard your word, Lord, it did something to me inside. Caused me to tremble within. My lips quivered. The voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk would have never ascended to the high places by continuing in his own reasoning. But he heard the word of God. And he heard it in such a way that it had a tremendous inward effect upon him. And the word of God literally shook Habakkuk. We live in a day when God's people sit and they listen to the word of God and it does absolutely nothing to them. They laugh at sin. They minimize sin. But Habakkuk says, it shook me. It caused my belly to tremble. You'll never walk in the high places until the word of God disturbs you till you receive it inwardly. When he says, my belly trembled, he is saying, the word of God vibrated within me. This is not something you can get away from. When the word of God has this effect upon you, you can't just walk out that door and go in the parking lot and carry on. It does something. That's the only way you'll get to the high places. We're talking about ascending to the high places. There has to be faith. There has to be a hearing of the word of God in such a way that it shakes us. Again, we've said many times throughout the years, it used to be that you preach the Word of God and some people would get glad, some people would get angry. Very few get angry anymore. I'd rather them get angry than it have absolutely no effect whatsoever. You'll never ascend the high places till the Word of God shakes us, until there is an impact of the Word of God. So there has to be faith. There has to be a hearing of the Word of God in such a way that it literally shakes us. And then thirdly, there must be a surrender of self to God. Somewhere between chapters 1 and 3, Habakkuk surrendered his own will and his own reasoning to God's will and to God's way of doing things. And it is only when we continually put down our self-will and accept His will that we are able to walk in the high places. You'll never walk in the high places in rebellion against God. You'll never walk in the high places following the dictates of your own self-will. But Habakkuk not only surrendered his will to God's will, he accepted God's way of doing things. He's complaining in chapter 1. In chapter 3, there's no complaint whatsoever. He says in verse 17, Lord, even though you're going to destroy our entire economy, I'm going to be happy in you. In other words, he has accepted. Did he fully understand why God would use the Babylonians to bring such destruction? No. But he has now accepted God's way of doing things. And the only way you'll ever ascend to the high places, the only way you'll ever walk and live above your circumstances and your difficulties and all the problems of life is, again, to accept God's way of doing things. I mean, what is it? If we do not accept God's way of doing things, what are we saying? We're saying my way's better. Lord, I have a better way to do this. Lord, why don't you just listen to me a while? I think I got this figured out. Well, the height of arrogance. We need to just accept. And that you can't do that without faith. And without faith, you cannot surrender your will to God. And you will not accept the ways of God until you have faith and you have surrendered yourself to the Lord. And once you've done that, you now have hinds feet. You can stand and you can walk in the high places. So, just as Habakkuk accept God's righteous judgment that the beginning of the book shakes him to the core of his being, he now finds grace to rise to new places of faith, new places of strength. So that's how Habakkuk ascended to the high places. Then lastly, let's look at some results of being in the high places. Again, by the time we get to our text, though circumstances have not changed as far as Judah is concerned, Habakkuk has an entirely different outlook than he did in chapter 1. Everything looks different to Habakkuk by the time we get to chapter 3. You see, we have the tendency today to persist and looking at our immediate problems themselves independent of God. What I have found in my life, anytime I look at problems or anything independent of God, I'm going to get mightily depressed. You take God out of the picture, you have every reason to be depressed. Every reason. The truth is, you do not have any reason to take God out of the picture. So, that's what Habakkuk was doing in chapter 1. He was looking at things independent of God, and then he couldn't accept what God was going to do. So as we get to the high places, we view things differently. We see that God's in control, and that all will be well. We view things with a different attitude. You can't have a bad attitude in the high places. You can't get there with a bad attitude, and you can't stay there with a bad attitude. So anytime someone has in a bad attitude, they'll say, well, how do you know I'm backslidden? Because you can't walk in the high places with a bad attitude. If you have a bad attitude, you're not in the high places. You're in the low places. There is a joy in the high places, independent of circumstances. And that's what he says there in verse 18. Verse 17, he says, although, and then in verse 18, yet I will rejoice. And you notice, as you read verse 19, again, circumstances haven't changed in Judah. There's still corruption everywhere. He says, the Lord God is my strength. He'll give me hinds feet, and I'll be able to walk in the high places. Habakkuk didn't just merely accept God's way and then just endure the time of distress. And that's what many of God's people do. Well, this is how God's going to do it. I'll just accept it. And then what do? They endure life. They endure life. God didn't call us to just endure life. He didn't call us just to endure the distresses. He called us to live above the distresses. And you can only do that in the high places. And you can only get to the high places like Habakkuk got there. So there was joy independent of circumstances. There was a rest. I mean, as you read verse 18 and verse 19, you see a man who's at peace. You see a man who's at rest, even though there's sin all around him. You only find that in the high places. So in the beginning of the book, Habakkuk is faltering. He's struggling. But by the time we get to our text, he says, the Lord is my strength. He's strengthened. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my robustness. The Lord is my vigor, he says. The Lord is the force and the might and the health. My life. He found all of this through faith, through surrender, and through acceptance of God's ways. And what Habakkuk found was a strength. He says, the Lord is my strength. That's a strength that never collapses. Never collapses. He found a strength that always endures. So in closing, no matter what you and I have to face, I believe the Lord always provides high places. They're always there. Just like there is a well in every wilderness, God always provides high places. But you do not just magically appear in the high places. High places need to be ascended to. And we can only ascend to those high places as Habakkuk did. there are high places. We see here there are high places where we can walk. Not just high places you can lie down and die in, but high places in which you can walk. There's only one reason people do not, or there's certain reasons why people do not ascend to the high places. Lack of faith. No surrender. Lack of acceptance of God's ways. Those are the reasons. You say, no, those aren't the reasons. The reasons are my wife's rotten, my husband's rotten, my kids are rotten. Those aren't the reasons. Just like all the sins of Judah, those weren't the reasons that Habakkuk was in the dumps at the beginning of the book. Habakkuk was in the dumps because he was not ascending to the high places. So the high places are always there. We always need to look for them. We need to always ask God to help us to ascend. So for God's people, the book begins with a question. Why, Lord? For God's people, life does not have to be a big question mark. And it seems to me, as you read verse 19, or verse 18 and verse 19, it ends with an exclamation point. And life for the child of God can be just that. Not a question, but an exclamation point. So there are high places today where you can find a song, where you can live, where you can walk. And again, these places do not just magically appear. You have to ascend to them. So we need to ask ourselves today, where do we live? Where do we live? Most of us, we ascend from time to time to the high places. We stay there for a little while. Then we begin to think. We begin to reason. Self gets in the way, and now we're descending from the high places. And we've got to go all the way down where the book started, in the dumps. And a lot of people stay there. I've known people for many, many, many years, and I've observed people who live in the dumps. I mean, that's where they are all the time. It's where they always are. And it's not because life has dealt them some unfortunate hand. It's because they do not ascend to the high places. It's not they're so unfortunate that there are no high places for them to ascend to. There's always high places. It's because they just insist on doing it their way. I don't understand that. If your way's not working, and you've spent your entire life, and your way hasn't worked yet, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just try a different way? Your way isn't working, and your way's not going to work. Accept God's way and ascend to the high places. And we shouldn't be happy with just every now and then ascending to the high places, and then here we come. We begin to descend. We ought to want to just stay in the high places, to walk there. Again, that means that we live above our circumstances. We live above our problems and our difficulties. We live above these things. And that's what the child of God is to do. They're to live above the world. You can only do that in high places. Aren't you glad today that God has provided some high places? And there is a particular way to get there. And I believe there's a particular way to stay there as well. And you stay there the same way you get there. That's how you stay. So God help us to ascend to the high places. When you get down in the dumps, remember, the psalmist asked himself, why am I disquieted within myself? He
he had enough sense to eventually ask himself the question, Lord, why do I feel this way? Well, you need to ask that question, and then you need to answer it. And you need to give a scriptural answer. And that's how you begin to ascend to the high places. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's